in kind of thinking about what you said about subject matter, I am very curious too if you can talk a little bit about how you first became interested in studying illuminated manuscripts, and if you could just talk a little bit about that genesis.
I got interested in the Book of Kells by actually not being able to see it. My wife and I went to England, and we had a couple extra days, and we both had wanted to see Ireland for a good long while. And so we took our rental car, hopped the ferry, and headed over to Dublin. And driving in Dublin is just a zoo, because you have just all these old, basically cart paths that have been turned into roads. And you can have roads that parallel each other going in circles. So we got totally lost. We never made it to Trinity College. And I was heartbroken, because one of the things I wanted to see while I was there was the Book of Kells. When we returned, the University of Arizona actually had the new facsimile that was done in 1990, first full color facsimile that was completed for the manuscript, available in special collections. And when I looked at the manuscript, I just fell in love with it. My interest in visuals has been, and especially since W.J.T. Mitchell talked about our visual turn, is that how do we migrate into a visual world from one that is based in text with all the intellectual apparatus that surrounds text? And what I found in the Book of Kells and in illuminated manuscripts, that you had this intellectual tradition that was based in expressing itself through visuals. And in this I said, this is what I want to look at. This is what I want to study. I want to see how another tradition developed in using the images as a way of expressing intellectual content that might tell us something about our own world and the possibilities that are before us with digital technologies. I think the interesting thing about the work is that the codex or the book was such a different beast at that point in time, and that the printing press changed the manuscripts so dramatically. So that I've actually learned as much about text as I've probably actually learned about images themselves. So that's how I kind of got started with the Book of Kells. But my real interest, I mean, as a piece of art, it is just absolutely gorgeous. It's just breathtaking. And that has been just a joy in working with the manuscript. When I was working on my dissertation, friends would be kind of drudging along a little bit with things. And if I hit upon, you know, a problem, it was like, darn, I've got to go over to Special Collections and look through this beautiful book. Woe is me. So that's been a real fun aspect of the project itself. But I think, you know, as I've kind of worked into it, the thing that has surprised me about the Book of Kells is, because the Vikings came through, destroyed so many of the records because of civil wars and other wars, we don't know what a lot of the imagery actually means. And I thought that my time with the Book of Kells would be shorter than what it's turned out to be. Because there's so much mystery in the imagery, having a rhetorician approach it is much different than having an art historian approach it or a medievalist approach it. So I'm able to ask slightly different questions, particularly questions thinking about the making, thinking about invention, thinking about rhetorical memory, that aren't at the heart of the other disciplines. So I'm hoping that I can contribute some real substantial things to the understanding of these manuscripts and understanding their visual architecture as a whole versus individual images. We tend to think about images having individualistic meaning and not accumulating like the words do over the length of a book. When we start thinking about a book like the Book of Kells, we have references of images all the way through. So in many ways, the images can work as a counter-narrative. They also can work as a concept or a meta-concept for how to read and focus on the text. So it's a very sophisticated and wonderful way of using them. One of the things that had slowed scholars down as well is that color is very important to these manuscripts, And when you think that a book as important as the Book of Kells was only had a color facsimile in 1990, with the delicacy of these manuscripts, people just couldn't spend the time looking at the images to really figure out what was going on in them. So it's really the digital has kind of opened up some really intriguing ways of doing scholarship and opened up avenues of knowing that we didn't have previously.
Something that you said really struck me just about how advanced this is as a concept and even a meta concept in terms of how we're pairing the visual with also with the text and also just reading about the Book of Kells and also other examples of just how precise these books are, and just in terms of they almost, it's amazing that they're hand lettered in terms of a lot of the things that they're doing, and also just hand drawn and just the handmade aspect of it. And I'm also just, I think in that statement, one of the things that really struck me was I feel like we're seeing a huge resurgence. You know, a lot of people talk about multimodal composition, and really reconsidering more and more just in the world around us, obviously with the internet and everything that's part of it, of how visuals play a huge role and how we consume media and text. And so I'm very curious too, in terms of looking back in the past and seeing those kinds of things in these illuminated manuscripts, if it does give you kind of a greater sense of perspective in terms of how we're approaching text today.
Yes. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about this period of illuminated manuscripts I'm studying, it's called the Insular Period. The manuscripts were made from about 550, 600 to 850 until the Vikings came in and wreaked havoc. So you've got about this 250, 300 year period of time where the Irish and the English, actually the Saxons, are kind of inventing a way of visual expression. And so in many ways, it's kind of a nice way of looking in and seeing how these different cultures are coming together around Christianity. And when you pull in the fact that the manuscripts are in Latin, and Latin wasn't a native language in Ireland, there was still some Latin being spoken in England from the time that the Romans were there, but that had pretty much, you know, passed on with all the Germanic tribes. So you've got this really interesting moment in time where you've got a language that isn't orally spoken that has to be learned, and then you also have a visual expression and a sense of faith. So as those things come together, it's intriguing how the Celtic cultures focused on certain design features. One of the things in the Irish culture is that there's a tradition of threes, which some scholars have suggested or thought perhaps that it was very influential in helping Christianity catch on so quickly. There was never any martyrdom of Christians in Ireland in any big fashion, which is quite astounding. And they even had to invent a form of martyrdom called white martyrdom, where you left your country for the sake of Christ, never to return, so that they would have a gateway into heaven that would be in a parallel path of a red martyr who's someone who is killed. So these cultural manifestations play out in really fascinating ways, along with the codexes that were able to come into both England and Ireland from the Mediterranean, from the Byzantine Empire. They all had this wonderful way of picking, choosing, incorporating different aspects, and developing. And one of the interesting things that I'm working on at this point in time is that when you start working with images and thinking about visual expression, there seems to be kind of two different genealogical strands that are developing. That the great Gospels, the illuminated manuscripts, were definitely for show. And there's some disagreement as far as whether they were actually read from or not. But there's an emphasis on reading correctly. and there were some serious penance for not reading correctly at a service. So in one strand, there's a lot of attention paid to layout, where the text is actually transcribed in two columns in sense units so that you could speak it more easily. The Irish actually invented space between words to help people in their reading, punctuation as well. So there's an emphasis on reading, but at the same time, there's this another strand that is more interested in the visual expression of the faith, which we get to with the Book of Kells. And part of that may have been that there would be processions of saints' relics that would bring money into the church. So whether the gospel books were used for that in Ireland, it's hard to say. Clearly at large services, they would open the gospel books up at pages. There are different rites that we have records of in Rome where they would even use four different great gospel books, and they would move around and be open to different pages throughout the services. So their focus, suddenly, although they contain the Word of God, was more important, or just as important, the expression visually. And so they start developing techniques where they can move text around on the page to make room for imagery. So suddenly we have the Word not as a oral phenomenon, or even as a literate phenomenon as we think about it for meaning, but as a visual phenomenon, as in typography. And that is where it suddenly becomes more important. And one of the great inventions during this period as well was the use of vellum instead of other materials to write on. And the great thing about vellum is that a quill and the inks will flow very smoothly over vellum, so you can get a beautiful script. So part of the beauty of these manuscripts, which I was going to say unfortunately, or I'm not sure quite what I want to say, but it's the technology. The technology, just like our digital technologies are making, you know, video happen today, vellum allowed for those beautiful scripts on those manuscripts.